You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
I am now joined by Jacob Stevenson, lead singer and not lead guitarist, rhythm guitarist, I think, of the band Aktang, once Otipoti, now Otutahi. They have just released last week their debut album, Spear in Fine View, full of post-punk goodness that followed on from their two very successful in the world of SRN singles, You Know and Love Them, New Dog, Old Tricks, taking over our top 11 countdown and hitting number one on the SRN. Joining me now on the program to chat all about it, welcome Jacob.
Kia ora.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm up nice and early. It's my day off work. I'm excited to chat.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm good.
Have you had coffee already today?
I have not. I'm probably going to have one after this interview, but
that's we'll good. See. Although I think the you know, the doing the coffee second bit never really makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm going to say
raising your hands up in the air in defeat. Okay, let's jump into talking about the album. It dropped last Friday. It has had a lot of very positive comments. How are you feeling about the release post-release? How have you felt about the reception?
Just, like, incredible. It's been a long time coming to get this album out into the world, and obviously it's really personal. All the songwriting that I've done and that I've done with the band has been super intimate and yeah, just really personal. And so having everyone say such wonderful things about it has really made my, like, year, I think. Doesn't really feel real, but
nice. I think that's the best you can have in terms of your feelings about it post-release. Now, you say it's a very personal album. What makes this debut record for you so personal?
I think, like, it's from start to end, it's almost like a musical, like, diary of snapshots of my life over the past, like, 3 to 4 years. Each song is from a very distinct time in my life and from a time when I was feeling really strong emotions, and my way of dealing with that was putting them into music. So yeah, it's, while you might listen to it and not really know what exactly it's about lyrically or something, each song is, yeah, totally of a time and place in my life.
A snapshot, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how do the tracks change? When you say they're kind of like a diary entries in a way, from that first, you know, pivotal feeling, and then you write it down, you make it into a track. You say it's been, you know, these songs have been with you for 3 or 4 years. How did they change from the original skeleton to the final songs that are on the record?
Yeah, it was weird because, pardon me, some of them changed quite a lot, but others, like New Dog, Old Tricks, our first single, it was just one and done. It didn't change much at all. So it really depended on the song. A lot of the earlier ones, just because maybe our songwriting wasn't as good. We updated down the line when we had a bit more of a vision, an idea of what we wanted.
Yeah.
I think the project to sound like. But yeah, and towards the later songs written, they didn't change all that much, which was, I think, nice.
And you started off as a Dunedin outfit. You now moved up to Otutahi. You've got a few different band members kicking around in the band. But you recorded the album here in Dunedin, that's right?
Yes, Southlink Studios, Nick Ron. A great time, yeah.
Nice. And how was that recording process for you? I mean, it was the first time you jumped into a kind of proper recording studio, right? And you have such a short amount of time to record a whole album in. What was your kind of, I guess, daily rituals that you and your band members partook in over that week-long period?
Yeah. Well, I'd done like a day or two of recording with other projects before, but never proper studio. We're going in for a week. But yeah, it was, we sort of felt a little bit under the pump, I think, because we had that time limit. We got to get all 10 tracks done. It was really nice showing up every morning, and Nick was really accommodating. You know, we'd go for lunch. Shout out the Princess Street Butchery, because their pies fueled our album.
You should put that in the liner notes.
We should. But best pies in the country, I reckon. I would go as far to say.
That's a big call.
Huge call, and I will stand by it. But yeah, I don't know. It was just like a lot of fun. And it was really, I just felt really proud of George, Jack, and Henry for just coming together so well on the recording. And it was just, yeah, a really great experience.
Now, the album cover, it is beautiful. It is a painting. You've kind of got your dog motif in there. It's a very Salvador Dali-esque situation on that album cover. And the album name, Spear in Fine View, is an interesting one as well. Tell me about the story behind those ones.
Yeah. The album cover was done by my friend B. Shout out, B. Who is an amazing artist. Went to art school, Dunedin. She does a lot of jewelry and stuff now up in the capital. But yeah, I just reached out to her because I loved some of her more surrealist, cool paintings. And seeing them, and I was like, I want that for the album cover. Like, that's awesome. And yeah, she did an incredible job. I can't sing her praises any higher. The album title, Spare and Fine View, it's kind of a weird one. It comes from a old online card game, mistranslated from Japanese, and I don't know, it was very evocative of, I don't know, I think a time and place in my life, and yeah,
that's a pretty niche reference point. Yeah. A mistranslation of a Japanese card game. And you've got a few more references across this thing as well, in terms of track titles and, you know, little references within the songs. There's the track Swimming/Normal People, which I suppose we're taking as a reference to the Sally Rooney novel. Yes, no.
Yes, yeah. As well, furthering the Sally Rooney reference with our interlude track, Intermezzo, also after her novel. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of hers, and that book, Normal People, is one of my favorite books I've ever read. And yeah, I think the themes of that book and that song, they fall into a similar place. And yeah. I don't know, it was a book that I read at a time in my life where I related to it incredibly heavily. And yeah, just slip a little literary reference in there.
Nice, nice. I'm sure you're carrying around a tote bag as well and listening to music through your wired headphones, which I know the listeners cannot see, but I am currently looking at you wearing wired headphones. And speaking of themes, what would you say, this is an album that's soaked in growing up, you know, those elements of becoming a young adult from being a late stage teenager, all those good things. What are the three themes that you think you hit on the most that people could take away from this album?
Ooh. It wouldn't be an emo album without good bit of heartbreak. So that'd be number one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think personal growth, the second. I think it's a lot of like, well, maybe no, not personal growth, but introspection.
Mm.
That'd be the second one. I think it's a very introspective album. at risk of sounding a bit self-indulgent.
Hey, that's what being a musician is.
And then I say it a lot, but cathartic would be the third word I'd use.
And when you're playing these songs live, we'll get to, you know, your kind of South Island tours as such later on. But yeah, is there a kind of catharsis you feel when you perform these tracks live? Now I know that you've got a little bit of a different lineup there in Otutahi.
Yeah. 100%. And I mean, the different lineup, obviously, George has stayed on from the original lineup. But even playing with Julia and Josh, like every time we play, it still is totally electric, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like the energy is just still unmatched. And they love playing the songs, and they love playing with me and George. And we love playing with them, and wouldn't have it any other way. But yeah, I think playing live is, it's just kind of what makes music special, you know? It's that personal connection you get with your band members and the audience and, you know, the sound check and the venue, and it's just kind of everything. Yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of playing live, you are coming to Otipoti in October, October 2nd.
October 2nd.
You're playing at Pearl Diver. Very exciting stuff. Can you give us a who's on the lineup?
Yeah, right. Emily Esplin and band. Emily's sick. Emily actually recorded the very first Uptown demos back a few years ago for one of the music papers. And it's really cool to sort of come full circle, play music
together.
And the Dunedin's best band ever, You Know Juno. Obviously, they're like my best friends ever. Love those guys. And Jack, the drummer, obviously used to play with us. So amazing too.
And I'm sure he'll have his wistful standing at the in the edge of the venue, kind of looking at you, going, "Oh, that should be me up there."
He misses me a lot. He misses me a lot. No, I miss him. no, but I'm actually buzzing to come back to Dunedin and play your first gig back since last year. And our first out-of-town show with the new lineup, which is really cool. And Pearl Diver, just such an amazing venue. Frost is super sick. Danny's an amazing sound guy. So, yeah, really, really looking forward to it.
Singing their praises for sure. And to end off our korero today, let's talk a little bit more about the sonic landscape of the album and what kind of went into creating that for you guys. I know that you write the lyrics. They're kind of your songs that then you take to the band. How do they end up as the full kind of post-punk emo tracks that they end up being?
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of the songs in the album followed a sort of quite similar formula. I'd usually sit down and I'd have like a riff or some chords or something, and I'd sort of write out a general overview, and then I'd take it to either Jack or George and sit them down and go, "All right, look, I've got this idea." And George would go, "Sweet, that's super sick. Here's some ideas." Or Jack would go, "Nah, we need to refine that down. You're doing too much." And then we'd have like a sort of like
a meeting
a nice
of the
big
minds.
Yeah. And we'd have this big sort of wet lump of clay that was the song, and then we'd just start playing it. Bring over Henry, and he'd lay down some tasty bass, and yeah, we'd just play it a few times until we're like, "Yeah, that sounds right. Cool. It's good." Yeah, it's a lot of fun writing songs with those guys, and writing songs with Julian and Josh as well has been, I think, a pretty similar experience. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun.
Nice. Well, the record Sphere and Fine View, Uktung's debut album is out now. It is across streaming digitally. You can buy the album on Bandcamp. You can buy CDs of the album or Uktung merch when they come down to Otipoti October 2nd. Get your tickets from undertheradar.co.nz. Don't miss that one. Jacob, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, good. This next track comes off of the album. It is none other than Swimming / Normal People, which I introed earlier in the interview. You're tuned into Radio 1, 91 FM. Keep it locked.
Grow ever colder as the tides take in and out of your rock pools. Another year, another winter older.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.